direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, hopefully it'll be on mine too. We might hear from Eduardo. He emailed me. The power's out, but he was using his mom's cell phone, so maybe he'll check in. Of course, power being out, you just sneeze in Florida and the power's out. The problem is it's for prolonged periods of time very often. I just looked at the latest information and about 1.3 million in Florida without power currently. That number will rise. And as I say, the problem is often it's protracted, not unusual in some cases to be without power for a week. But I think that may be the worst you're going to see of the storm, certainly on the West Coast, where it hit landfall a few hours ago in Siesta Key, which is a good area for that to happen because it virtually siphoned the water out of Tampa Bay rather than causing a storm surge into it. So that was good happening. Obviously, there'll be a lot of rain across the state as it moves from a hurricane, I think Cat 2 now, but it'll go down to a tropical storm as it exits over the Atlantic. But the question is, how wet will it be, and we'll see as the day goes on, but certainly a lot of fears are not being materialized, and that is a very good thing all the way around. And, you know, I was hearing all these various anecdotal stories of people without power, and I had to laugh. It took me back, oh, I guess over 60 years ago to Hurricane Cleo. Yeah. And I was down there, and my mom had moved from a hotel into an apartment, and she was readying herself for Cleo because she'd heard all about it, and she'd taped up her plate glass windows and all that and got all the instructions. And she was told that it would be good, the power was going to go out, to have a lot of candles on hand. So she went down to the local food fair at the time, and that's what it was, and saw this great deal on candles. They were in glass cups. They were foreign candles. They had writing of some sort on it, but she didn't care. She just figured they were foreign manufactured, and that was fine. And so, sure enough, here comes Cleo, which wasn't all that bad all the way around, but certainly the power was off for darn near a week. So she did the prudent thing. She got all of her candles, and she lit them, and she put them in her windowsills and stuff like that. And next thing you know, people she barely knew were coming over saying they were really sorry and bringing her things. Well, it turned out that these foreign candles were apparently, I think they're called like yard site lights or something like that. I'm probably pronouncing it terribly wrong. But anyway, it had to do with commemorating the dead in the Jewish religion. And this was a neighborhood that had a lot of Jewish people. And so when she said, "This is so nice, people are being so nice, they're bringing food." And I said, "Mom, their power's off too." And I thought, I better look into this a little. Which you didn't have the internet back then, that's for sure. But in short order, by going to food fair and asking, I found out what they were. And I came back and I said, "Mom, Do not say anything, but be prepared. Just decide who in your family has died. What do you mean? I said, you'll see. Just if anybody asks you, if you have to be put on the spot, someone died. And so anyway, I finally got her to rehearse what she needed to say, and all was actually very safe. But for a couple days there, I thought, this is going to be worse than Cleo. I just know it. So the candles, by the way, were terrific. As far as that goes, none of them tipped over. They all burned for hours. It was just great. But every time I think about the power going off in a hurricane, I think of the the famous Yardside light candle episode. So that was just one of many. So there you have that. But we can laugh because so far, as I say, it is not turning out to be by any means the storm of the century. And, you know, the only thing that worries me about this is that a lot of people evacuated who probably in hindsight didn't need to. And when that happens, what happens the next time is they refuse to go. And so that's worrisome because, you know, the next time could be the big storm. Who knows? But the governor was really on it. He declared that hotels weren't allowed to charge more than $70 per room. A friend of mine in Florida told me that this afternoon. I said, you mean like even luxury hotels? And she said, yeah, no matter what they are, they can't charge more than $70 tonight. I said, start packing. Yeah, get the deal of a lifetime. All right, now, as I prattle on before I do anything else, and we've got Jim and Clayton and Ruth, but Eduardo is calling, and he has an on-the-site report. So, Eduardo, if you've been listening, I think you escaped it big time. Looks like water left Tampa Bay and instead of a surging in it.
Yeah, I got power still on. I'm in the dark right now but I got the radio on and my Kindle on right now.
Okay.
But I don't want to turn too much electricity on.
Oh, believe me, your use will not be what triggers it. Trust me.
I'm looking in the back right now, and I see the trees going back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
And luckily, nothing's fallen yet.
Good, good. Well, one of the things that we were most afraid of was all the debris that hadn't been picked up, whether it was going to turn into flying missiles, and I haven't heard a thing about that, have you?
No, I haven't heard anything yet. I've been seeing people's power go off, people going into the shelters.
Sure.
I mean, I'm looking in the front right now. It's just windy.
Yeah.
And the rain's not sticking because of the wind. The wind's pushing it.
Right, of course. Of course. Well, we'll see.
So that's kind of good news.
You're going to get more rain over the next 24 hours, so we'll see where the water levels are. But certainly you escaped the storm surge they were predicting.
Yeah. I mean, I parked in the front. There's these shelves. Remember, I was telling you last week about that. I did a little research. They are good for drainage, so I left the car there, not in the on the side there or in the grass, so I got that out of there.
Okay.
So far, so good. Mom's sleeping.
Good.
But
good.
I've been, like, pacing up and down, you know, just making sure everything's fine.
I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, this is bigger than the previous ones, so
in that area, certainly for the last 100 years, but as I say, it turned out to be nowhere near the storm they were fearful it could be, and that's great news.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that as it goes across the state, there's going to be a certain amount of flooding, no doubt about that, but it'll by the time we talk tomorrow night, it's going to be a tropical storm.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk then tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Thursday?
Yes, tomorrow is Thursday, and we will. All right. So glad that there was no problems. I'm delighted to hear it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you very much.
That is good news. 888-876-5593. Jim Clayton and Ruth coming up. There's lines available for you too. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. So here we are talking about Milton and hurricanes and inclement weather. And I'll tell you what the commonality for all disasters is. Do you have a radio? That's right, because when everything hits the fan, the one thing that will be left, the power's out, cell phones are down, everything else, you'll have radio. And that's why I always talk about the C. Crane Company, because Bob Crane has an unbelievable collection of radios. Now, the thing they all have in common is that they all have superior reception. I mean, just excellent, because many years ago, Bob felt like some of us did, that reception in radios was getting just terrible. And he thought, you know, I can do something better. And that's the one commonality that every product he has shares. But so many of them have unique features as well. And one of the neatest is the CC Pocket Radio. It's probably one of the most popular radios on the market today for a good reason. Of course, it has that unbeatable AM and FM reception and crisp, clear audio for its small size. You can listen with the built-in speaker. Now, if you listen with the included earbuds, it's an amazing experience. The sound quality is just terrific. The Pocket Radio is digital. It has 5 memory buttons. You can instantly select your favorite station. It also, though, makes a great emergency radio because it has a lighted dial and the NOAA weather band with emergency alert. It's very lightweight, very durable, easy to hold with the rubber sides and a pocket clip. It's ready to go anywhere. Check it out. You'll be glad that you have one. CCRadio.com, CCRadio.com, and look at the CC Pocket Radio. Now, if you can't go online for some reason, you can give them a call because they've got the best customer service, and that's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions, but more than that, if you want them to mail you a free catalog, so you have it to hold in your palm of your hand if you can't go online, just ask for it. It'll be in the mail tomorrow. So, ccradio.com. Oh, man, you're going to find something you got to have. Maybe it's that CC Pocket Radio. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. All right, I want to preface the first bumper, actually. I said I'd play it last night. I mentioned on the 3rd that my former boss and friend, George Johns, passed away on his 83rd birthday. And a lot of people in the radio world have been talking about this because he was an incredible programmer. And, you know, I knew George from way back. He was originally from Winnipeg. And it's interesting because when you're a Canadian wanting to work in America, you, of course, have to be able to get here with a work visa. And originally, Jim Hilliard, who had worked with him at CKY, wanted to bring him to Philadelphia, but the government wasn't having it and all that. Well, when Jim got to WIBC in Indianapolis, he decided that he was bringing George in no matter what. And at that time, I think George was programming CFTR in Toronto. Anyway, he got him a visa as a scientist. And we've been laughing about this because I'm pretty sure I can say this now. He's no longer with us. George didn't graduate from high school. As far as I knew, he was working in the bowling alley and also had a band, The Jury, which actually had chart records in Canada. And sometimes you even hear him on XM. But anyway, so George comes to America, the scientist. And in some ways, maybe it was an apt title because he was just brilliant when it came to adult contemporary radio. And in fact, ultimately, not only WIBC, but KVIL in Dallas got so big that everybody wanted him to consult. And in fact, truth be known, I gave him his first consulting job in Los Angeles. But apart from that, that probably he would have had it whether I did or not. He went on to great success. Now, whether you were working for him directly, as I did in Indianapolis, or whether he was your consultant, the one common problem for jocks was that you just hated the music. I mean, the reason was it was just burned out as far as you were concerned. But George knew what he was doing, and he said, look, here's the bottom line. By the time you are throwing things and yelling at me to stop playing it, that's about the time that the 25-year-old female figured out who it's by. And he said, you just ignore the music. Do not worry about it. That's my job. Your job is what's in between the music. And that was always his mantra. But as time went on, a lot of people, particularly those working at stations he consulted as opposed to directly, because people working for him directly got it, no doubt about it. But people who worked for stations that he consulted, they were just fit to be tied about this music. And my buddy Larry Crockett, who's no longer with us either, sadly, was working at WRAL in Raleigh, and George was consulting, and he had just had it. And so he one day went into the studio and came up with this.
Our playlist, we'd been together too long, just playing worn out recordings of no one's favorite songs. So I went to the PD with a legitimate gripe, But he just smiled as he told me, keep up that hourly hype. If you like Gino Vanelli or Elton John all the time, if you adore Kenny Rogers, Lionel Richie is fine. If you like Man Alone at Midnight, Billie Jean makes you shout. And we're the station you've looked for. We play the hits, burn them out.
How come I keep hearing the same songs every hour?
Gotta play familiar music. Next.
Why don't y'all play some beach music?
Our research shows no one listens to that. Next.
Y'all play Beat It.
Sorry, you're out of our demographic.
Please don't misunderstand me. I know I sound kind of mean, but my shift in this format have fallen into the same old routine. So I wrote to our consultants, see what George had to say. And though I'm nobody's poet, I asked the question this way. Do you like Chuck Mangione and hauling oats all the time? Do you adore Barbara Streisand? Does Billy Joel ring your chimes? Do you like Man Alone at Midnight? Does Billie Jean make you shout? Are you into repetition? What's this format all about?
Why don't you play more oldies?
We're fine-tuning the station. They don't test well. Next.
Why don't you guys play Thriller?
That record's gonna be a stiff. Next.
When are you guys gonna go off automation? Hello?
And so I waited with high hopes. Then they delivered the mail. I knew that line in an instant. Take this advice or you'll fail. Hey, don't you worry about the music. Relax, have fun, and cook. And if you smile through all your boredom, it will show up in the book. Keep playing Gino Vanelli and Air Supply all the time. Lots of Bob Seger and the Bee Gees, and Hall and Oates will be fine. Even though it's such a bore, and you'll get all of the females from 25 to 34. Well, I hate Gino Vanelli, Michael Jackson I dread. I could sure use some beach tunes just to clear out my head. Don't want no Richie twice an hour, but what's a DJ to do when you don't have the power? You just play what they hand you. Keep playing Gino Vanelli.
Yeah, so rest in peace, Larry. Now rest in peace, George. I have a feeling they might be talking about it right about now. So 888-876-5593 right after the news. Jim, Clayton, Ruth, and your calls coming up on WGN Radio.
To love you, didn't you know it, babe? Didn't you know it? Why couldn't you be content with the love I gave? Oh, yeah, I gave you my heart, but you wanted my mind. Oh, yeah, you're alive. Scared me to death, girl. All is a choking kind. That's all it is. You can kill a man with a bottle of poison or knife. I know you can. Better hurt him more to take his pride and ruin his life. Oh, it's a shame, girl. Whatever it is, girl. I surely hope you find. Oh, yeah. I tell you that hat
don't fit my head. Oh, it's a choking kind. Oh, yeah, it make me wanna. Oh, yeah. Oh, listen to me. When you fall in love again, girl, take a tip from me. Oh, yeah. If you don't like the peach, walk on by the tree. That's what you better do, honey.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Joe Simon, The Choking Kind, 1969 on Soundstage 7. Yeah, John Arrow was involved in that. And Brian and Joliet had requested we play it, and happy to do it. All right, Jim is in Richmond. Welcome back to WGN. How are you tonight, Jim?
I'm doing okay.
Yay.
I'm so glad Eduardo is okay.
Yeah.
And I just was going to call you to ask you if he was okay.
Yeah.
You know, and that Florida area that's being hit has memories from me because my honeymoon in 79 was in St. Petersburg.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then later, my ex-fiance, who was a flight attendant from United, used to set up these deals. And my very first true vacation was in Siesta Keys.
Oh, wow.
And it was great. I saw Longbow Key and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And then later on, while I was recovering from my triple bypass, she talked me into driving all the way down back to Florida to stay at her mother's house in Newport Richey.
Mm-hmm.
And I regret that to this day because of the fact of sitting in that car with my legs, you know, not getting circulation and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad everything's okay there.
Yeah, it looks really good. I think the only issue is going to be, and we won't know till it's traversed the state, how much water is going to be left. It looks like it'll exit at Volusia County, which is basically Daytona Beach. But as it traverses between now and morning, it's going to leave a lot of rain. And I guess we'll see about flash flooding tomorrow. But that's really about the extent of it. The earlier, the big problem was, as you know, because the eye was so tight, it was spawning tornadoes. But as far as I know,
right,
there wasn't any tremendous damage from that. I'm sure there was some, obviously, but compared to what was expected, this is all good news.
Right, and Fort Myers was hit bad with a tornado, and they had a tornado go right across the highway on 75, and I don't know if there were still long lines on 75 at that time, but, and, you know, it just... I just know that area because of the fact, you know, of me being there.
Sure.
And, you know, and stuff like that. And I was hoping you would remember that last Thursday I had asked you to play a song for Fran for her birthday.
And I did,
but
that night.
Your phone, what?
I did that night.
Thursday?
Yes.
No, I don't remember.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I knew that it was one of her favorite songs, and I said, "This is for you from Jim."
I listened Thursday, and I don't remember hearing that, so I apologize.
That's okay. It's all, you know, you can always listen to the replays. They're always available. But,
right. You know I can't find that.
Yeah, well,
and
you will soon.
Right. And number three is... my eyesight is getting worse, and I don't go to see the doctor till the 16th, so I'm not happy about everything. So,
well, it's a week from today,
right?
Yeah,
and I just want to let you know that. And they came out last Thursday and looked at my washer.
Yes.
And then they said they had to order a part.
Right.
And then I didn't hear from them, so I thought it would be real funny. And I, you know, like what they say, got milk.
You're right.
I wrote, got wire irons.
Ah.
And they turned around and said, "Oh, we'll be out on Friday.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, it's like they weren't even interested in what I wanted, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you'll get it working, and that's the most important part.
Right. And I thank you. And
all right.
Can I request, can you play another song for Fran so that I can hear you?
Yeah, it won't be tonight because I'm totally loaded tonight. But tomorrow night I will play something that I know Fran likes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. All right,
Jim.
Have
a wonderful evening.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so that's the belated birthday girl, Fran. So, Fran, if you want to weigh in and tell me exactly what you want to hear, of course, I'll be happy to play it. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Clayton is in Washington, Indiana. So, Clayton, what's up?
Well, hello, everyone. Today, I was actually wanting to talk about some technical stuff as well as what's going on with the hurricane. As well, because again, my friend Levi and Cherie are in Florida. I haven't heard another thing out of them. I've tried calling them multiple times.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they're okay, but you may not hear from them for a few days.
Yeah, I know I most likely can't get through to them by phone because the stuff is out.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Even though cell phones work, of course, you have to have them charged. And if you don't have power, you might not be charging them. So that can be a problem, too.
Well, and the towers might also go out,
well,
too.
That's why
landlines are so good.
Right, right. Well, when you have them, unfortunately, these days, a lot of the phone companies, what you think is your landline is really a VoIP line. And so there's electricity in that mix. But sure, it could be the towers. But more likely, it's just that if the power's down, you are not charging.
Yeah. I also want to encourage people in terms of emergency preparedness. Make sure to have some way to communicate other than your cell phone, whether it be a ham radio or some other radio. Make sure you have a way to communicate.
Yeah, certainly I would say everybody should have a radio so at least they'll get information. But as far as being able to send information, that's tough. I agree with you, but most people are not in any way equipped to do that.
CB radios, though, don't require a license, but you can get a good CB radio for around $200.
Oh, sure. People can do that. They just often won't. But I agree. You know, like one of the things you heard today out of Florida was some of the 911 systems went down. So for people who were totally dependent upon cell phones and 911, well, in some cases they didn't have either. So, yes, anything you can do to basically be the modern version of two Dixie cups and a string is a good idea.
Oh, yeah. And I also encourage people, have a pair of field phones, like those old crank phones. Have a pair of them, at least, and crap loads of wire.
Yeah, I'm only laughing because you know that a very small percentage of people are going to do it, but it's good advice.
Well, all I can do is encourage people.
That's right. All right.
I'm also kind of curious, in terms of what stations are we airing on? I'm picking you up on WGN Chicago.
That's it.
But like, are there
No. This is WGN show. This is absolutely exclusive to WGN. I stream it on my website as well as on the WGN website. But no, this is WGN show. I do it just for them.
Dang. I like that.
Yeah. So no, it's no syndication and nothing else. It belongs 100% to Nexstar Communications.
Dang, I'm interested. Mm. I'm just curious about those things. And another thing I want to know is, at some point in time, like certain times, could I come on the show and do like telephone trivia or what have you? Because I'm into that kind of stuff.
Well, every Monday night we do trivia, so if you want telephone trivia as a category, I'll be happy to come up with some questions.
Alrighty.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for calling, Clayton, and let me know when you hear from your buddy.
Alrighty.
All right,
I will hopefully be able to do that.
Yeah, you will. All right. Appreciate it. Okay, so good to hear from Clayton, but no, it's absolutely WGN only. And that reminds me, when I said Nexstar, I meant to tell you something. I don't know if you've seen this, but one of the things I have really enjoyed looking at is a wobble tracker. And I've been looking at this for a couple days now. WFLA-TV in Florida, which is a Nexstar station, has a real-time wobble tracker. And you can look at the forecast and you can watch the storm's trajectory. And, you know, throughout the night and the morning, I was saying to John, for instance, all right, well, where is it now? And it's like, you're not going to find out exactly at this moment, no matter, you know, how much you watched people on the Weather Channel standing in the rain. But the WFLA real-time wobble tracker will show you. And right now I'm looking at it, and the storm is already pretty far inland. And by tomorrow morning around daybreak, it's going to probably head out, assuming it doesn't change pathways, head out through Volusia County, which is basically Daytona Beach. And so if that changes, the real-time wobble tracker will change as well. And they have a loop that they show, like you can see it, what was it, Wednesday at 6:37, 7:38, right up to 11:30 p.m. EDT, which is the last one I saw, because that's only, you know, what, a few minutes ago. But so it's a lot of fun, real-time wobble tracker. Just look for WFLA. All right, 888-876-5593. We will next get to Ruth coming up in moments here on WGN Radio.
Oh, yeah. Hell, the little things you say and do make me want to be with you. Rave on, it's a crazy feeling, and I know it's got me reeling when you say I love you. Rave on, the way you dance and hold me tight, the way you kiss and say goodnight. Rave on, it's a crazy feeling, and
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Buddy Holly on Coral. Yeah, that's right. If it was going to be the Crickets, it would be on Brunswick, but when it's just Buddy Holly, it's on Coral. 1958, Raybon, and that was Cindy in Chicago's request. Long story on why that was the case. But anyway, Ruth and Gurney, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, good evening.
How are you?
You know that last week when I asked about the menorah?
Yes.
You said that I had the wrong holiday. Well, the very next day, the mail was retrieved a day later, and in the mail was a menorah.
Wow.
And so it actually is celebrated, I found out recently, every Saturday on the Sabbath throughout the year. But I think they sent it to me because of the high holy days coming on Friday and the one that they had been in from last week.
Huh.
But I got that menorah with 8 blessings. So
wow.
Someone had a hand in it. The
well,
praises go up and the blessings come down.
Works
now,
for me.
Now, I know I got the shortest airtime ever, but this is a good night with the weather conditions to hogwash out negativity on the news. And so that has a tremendous effect for electrical, electronic types of things with being on frequencies and things like that come through. So this happens to have its plus side to it, Mother Nature, why God's soulmate. I have 3 credit cards, which I'm honored when you solve problems, as you do for so many people. 2 BMO credit cards in 2 months were declined when I went to use them. And then a 3rd card was declined after I had used it. I had begun to suspect that there was some manipulation somewhere with someone who takes my credit card number over the phone and then put something into a computer. All in right. BMO's case, it's a bank, and they I will not be sending a box all of right. fortune cookies to the senior right. citizen I building want, in Poughkeepsie,
I want
New
you to
York.
Listen, I want you to listen to me, Ruth. All right. I want you to go write this down, annualcreditreport.com, just like that, annualcreditreport.com. This is a site where you can pull your actual credit reports from the three credit reporting agencies, and you can do it as often as once a week, and it is free. The reason you want to do this is you want to see all your accounts and if there's any negative information on any of them. And that is one of the easiest ways to know if there's identity theft going on. So do that. All right. Now, the next thing is, the next thing is, if your credit is being declined, if BMO is the issuer of your MasterCard or Visa, whichever, you can call them and ask why. Call the 800 number on the card. Ask why it's declined.
Oh, I tried that, and the bank wants me to come in, and I can't do that. I get, what is it that you don't get? I don't get into a wheelchair. What is it that you don't get? The thing of it is that I'm not concerned about BMO. I'm not going to use the card anymore.
Well, no, you, I am concerned.
The second time.
Yes, I am concerned, because if you're having cards decline for seemingly no reason, you might have identity theft going on. That's why I want you to pull the annual credit reports from all three. You'll do it one at a time, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, and you'll do this.
Okay. Okay. Aye, aye, sir. All right. I mean, ma'am.
All right.
Okay.
But see, here's the problem.
We've
just talked about three things, and it's not why you called. And that's why when you say,
I
don't get much time.
Healing.
Yes, I know, but right. And you should have started with that, and that's what we should have talked about. See, that's what I'm trying to get you to do, is stick to one subject, and that's what we talk about. But all right. Healing stones, of course, the whole history of jewelry is, in fact, healing stones. That's originally why people wore stones. But what healing stones do you want to know about, or do you want to tell me about?
Well, I've only become recently familiar with them, and I'm quite surprised. You know, I don't do computers, and so when I get a lot of information on a lot of things, something new always comes along, and so the healing stone thing has surfaced recently, and I wanted to know what the potential was, what the most likely place was. I wanted to do this as a trivia question, but I didn't call Monday night. I knew you'd have the answer one way or another.
Well,
where is the location, location, location? I think it's Sedona, Arizona. For healing stones?
No, no, it isn't like that. No, healing stones come in every variety. As I say, this is the history of jewelry. This goes back to ancient times when they were amulets or talismans, and they were believed to protect you from harm or bring you good fortune. Well, since then, crystals and healing stones, each one of them have their purposes. For instance, a diamond brings you strength and fortitude and good luck and protection and fidelity, and it helps all your chakras. Citrine will attract wealth and prosperity, and it'll calm the stomach and digestion. Rubies are good for goal setting or love or passion or stimulating circulation. Your heart chakra is improved. So when you're talking about healing stones, there are many, many, many different ones. And it's not a question of where's a good one to get it. It depends what you want to get.
Okay, well, I'm looking for like the ones that are known as jasper or agate or these ones or turquoise. I want to know which is the most unique as far as medical healing.
No, it's not
medical healing.
Yes, it's not like that, though. For instance, turquoise is good for stress and pain reduction. It's good emotionally for letting go and for freedom, and good for safe travels. That's what turquoise does. You can read all about each of these stones. There are literally dozens and dozens. And as to where you'd get them, well, different stones in different places. So you're just starting to learn about this, and you got a lot more to go.
Well, so far you've given me some information, and so I don't do computers where the best knowledge would be. However, you've shared this with other people who are interested in you hit BINGO, the one that reduces pain. right then and there.
All right, well,
I hadn't heard one word about that.
Right. Well, so there's tons of it. And, you know, if you go to the library, you can do it that way. I don't know why you won't use a computer, but you should, because you have trouble getting out of the house. And that's one way to open the world to you at home. But you've ended the hour, and call again. But if you want to talk about stones, just let's talk about stones. All right, thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
so
you.
Good
thank
deal.
You.
All right, so 888-876-5593. Two more hours of this, and Leah's got a book suggestion from Ruth. So keep listening, Ruth, and we'll pick it up there after the news on WGN Radio.
I'm leaving it out. Gonna do. Now do you want my love, or are we through? I was a fool in the past. Might have known it couldn't last. Now do
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that is the original Leaving It All Up to You, 1957 on Specialty. Andy and Norridge wanted to hear Don and Dewey, who wrote it and first recorded it. Likewise for many, many other songs, including Big Boy Pete, which he also requested, and we'll play that next. But wanted to take a moment to tell you a little about Don and Dewey. Yeah, some of the most unknown guys. Talk about people who should have been household names when it came to early rock and roll. They had the misfortune of working for Specialty. They wrote everything, and of course, good luck if Art Roop ever gave them some royalties. I think ultimately they later wound up with some. But Don Harris, and his actual name was Don Bowman, but there was a country disc jockey with that name, so he changed it. Don Harris and Dewey Terry were clearly the antithesis of two guys who grew up in the ghetto, because they didn't. They grew up in Pasadena, California, and in fact, how it happened was Dewey Terry heard some guy playing the violin, and who is this? And so it turned out it was Don Harris, a child prodigy on the violin, 10 years of classical training before he got into high school. In fact, he's the guy who introduced the electric violin to rock. And of course, they formed a doo-wop band early on. Yeah, the Squires. I don't know if you remember them, but yeah, it was basically a local L.A. hit when they were both in high school, and it was called Cindy with an S, S-I-N-D-Y.
Do, 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 do.
School, making some local waves, but nothing else. But they wind up working with everybody from Little Richard to Frank Zappa, doing Vegas dinner shows to you name it. And interestingly, as I say, while none of their records were known to anybody, their writing certainly was. Not only Leaving It All Up to You, which of course Dale and Grace, but so much more. Farmer John, yeah, and let's see, and of course Big Boy Pete. which we'll play it next. And the Olympics, by the way, I think did a better job of it as far as that goes. But when they were first at a high school recording for specialty, they got to see a lot of old blues acts. And I think that was probably their biggest influence in forming what they were. In fact, it was fascinating for things like Guitar Slim, who he really was a showman. He had this really long guitar cord that enabled him to leave the club and board a bus and still be playing. Not too far down the street, but somewhat down the street. And so, that's all Dewey Terry needed to see. That's my man. So he said, and yeah, when you see me out there, I'm emulating that man, Guitar Slim. Maybe there's a little touch of me. And so it was Terry's amped up guitar and, of course, Don's electric violin that really created an interesting sound all the way around. But like I say, more than that, having written so much, and again, like I hate to bring it up, but Art Roop from Specialty managed to nab all the royalties, but eventually I think that they got some back. Neither of them are alive now, but they were until I think like the late 90s for Dewey Terry, and for Don Harris I think like 2003 or so. But unfortunately, Don Harris developed a drug problem, and I mean a severe drug problem, the kind that makes you homeless. And Dewey Terry did everything to try and rehabilitate him. And I don't know if that ever happened. I know the last interview I had seen with Dewey, he was still trying. But they wound up working for everybody, including Johnny Otis and you name it. And as I say, you know, Don and Dewey, you'd mention that to somebody and people say, who? Yeah, so that's who they are, and that's what they wrote. So leaving it all up to you, which arguably Dale and Grace did a better version. And you'll see the same thing with Big Boy Pete. I think the Olympics nailed it, but it wouldn't have been at all if Don and Dewey hadn't written it. So I'm glad that Andy from Norwich asked about them. All right, so now with that in mind, Leah is in, of course, Marcus Hook. So welcome back to WGN Radio, Leah.
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you. How are you?
All right. How do you feel? Anything new on the teeth?
No, nothing new. I keep trying to get through to my dentist. I can't get through on the phone.
Oh,
I don't
geez.
Know.
Oh, geez.
Can't get an appointment.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Their phones are always busy. Yeah.
Oh, man. Hate to hear that.
Yeah, well, I called because I want Ruth to write this down. I hope she's still listening.
Okay.
There's two books. It's called The Crystal Bible.
Okay.
And The Crystal Bible 2.
Okay.
And she can pick them up on Amazon or thriftbooks.com, which sells used books. And I don't know.
I don't think she has computer access. See, I'm kind of sitting on her about that, but hopefully she can.
Not on her phone?
I don't know if she has a phone.
Oh.
I guess we're going to find
well,
that out.
Well, I mean, I guess she can get them wherever books are sold. I don't know where they sell books nowadays that isn't on the internet.
Yeah, no, they do in a lot of places. I guess somebody could order it, but I'm hoping that that we can bring her into the 20th century at least, if not the 21st, and have her get online.
Well, if she wants me to order them for her, I can.
Yeah.
She wants to send me a money order, and I can order it for her.
That's very kind. But hopefully she'll get around to this. So the Crystal Bible and the Crystal Bible 2. I'm going to look at that. I'm going to look at
that. And that'll tell her everything she needs to know.
Okay.
About crystals and the healing properties, the metaphysical properties, everything.
Oh, good. Now
I have them and I swear by them.
Good. Let me ask you, I don't know if it delves into this, but of course, many people wear them, say, as a choker chain or maybe even a bracelet. And I was wondering.
You can wear them as a choker. You can wear them as a bracelet.
Right.
You can put the raw stones in your bra.
Oh, I know that. But asking about the bracelets or the choker chains, what I'm curious about, of course, is that all of them have a different underlying string, so to speak. And some are sterling silver, but some are zinc. Does it matter what the underlying chain is?
No. It does. It just matters, like, if you're sensitive to it or not.
Right. But assuming you're not sensitive, is there anything that is likely to lessen the power of the gemstone or something that might increase the power of the gemstone?
No, but but if you get the ones with the magnets in them, that's good for your, if you have arthritis or something, if they have the therapeutic magnets in them.
Right. Okay, good good information.
And also, I'm going to suggest, I don't know if she has cable or what, but there's Shop LC on Friday nights. Well, it starts Thursday nights at midnight and goes till Friday night at midnight. They have everything under $10. Mm-hmm. And you can get some really good deals on gemstones.
Wow.
Yes, they have real gemstones for under $10.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people don't realize that the origin of jewelry was, in fact, this. People wore it because they thought it was either going to protect them or heal them or something of that nature. And today, most people just pick it because it's pretty.
Garnets were used because they thought they couldn't get lost. They were used for traveling.
Okay.
Because they thought they couldn't get lost if they were wearing garnets. Amethysts were actually used in the days of Dionysus because they thought they couldn't, they would drink out of amethyst cups. They would drink the wine out of amethyst cups because they thought they wouldn't get too intoxicated because of the amethyst.
Interesting. Yeah,
there's a lot of stories like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I have a healing stone guide, but it's certainly not a book. I'm going to look into these books. It sounds good. But,
Cleopatra used to have her servants crush lapis lazuli, and she used to wear it as eyeshadow.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Well, that says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
All right.
It's a beautiful stone. It has, you know, that fool's gold in it,
right,
you know, that
right.
flex of fool's gold in it.
Yeah.
And it's a very healing stone. Now, I'm very drawn to labradorite and rose quartz. Rose quartz is the love stone, as we all know.
Heart healing, but it also supports circulation.
Stone. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
But it's a love stone, and it I was wearing it the night that me and Albert got back together.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Rose quartz. You betcha. So that's great.
Yeah, and labradorite is beautiful. That's a beautiful stone. Have you you've seen labradorite, right?
Yeah, I have.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, there are a number of things. I didn't realize initially that they had these healing properties. It's just I have a really bad scar at a certain point on my neck, and a 15-inch chain will cover it. And so, of course, I've got dozens of these things that are every kind of healing stone you can imagine. And for years, I had no idea they were even healing stones. I just picked it based on, well, this will match, you know.
Yeah, it's better. Like, I know a lady who actually tapes them, like, with a Band-Aid. She takes, like, one of those Band-Aids, and she just sticks them wherever on her body, wherever she needs the healing, you know?
Yeah.
She just gets the loose stones, because they sell loose stones, too, on Shop LC. She just gets the loose stones, and she just sticks them with a Band-Aid wherever she needs them on her body. But I also know other women who put them in their bras, and they wear them like that. And then they have to be touching your body, though. You know, like if you wear the earrings, you know, but the bracelets, the stretchy bracelets and the necklaces are better because they're touching your body.
Now, on those stretchy bracelets, it's interesting because some you see that they'll be charging $17 each, but then you'll see somewhere 20 pieces for $16.99. You know, how do you know the quality of this stuff?
That's why I swear by Shop LC, because they tell you they're a wholesaler and they make their own jewelry.
Oh, okay.
And they don't have a middleman, and they, you know where it's coming from.
Okay.
Their stuff is made in Bali, and they have one warehouse, and you know where it's coming from, and they show you the mines. They go on trips to the mines, and they show you the mines where it's coming out of. And you know it's genuine. That's why I swear by them. And the good prices, of course, you know.
Yeah.
On Thursdays and Friday night, you know.
Well, there you have it. All right. Good to know.
You don't. You have to be careful with amber, especially. Amber and turquoise are much, copied these days, especially out of China. You get the fake turquoise out of China and everything. And you have to really be careful with amber and turquoise these days. So if you can find a company like Shop LC that you know is good, and you know they're very open and above board and show you where everything's coming from, then stick with them.
All
right. That's what I say.
Good information. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, great. I hope it helps her.
I sure do. That's great. And if not, I've written it down. I might order the books. All right,
okay,
thanks.
Good.
Appreciate it. Why
thanks.
Not? All right, good deal. Right. So 888-876-5593. But yeah, I had no idea. I just wore them for aesthetics. So it's like if medium green looks good that day, well, yeah. Now I know they all have properties. Well, why not? So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Laura. We'll get to James. We'll get to you too. I hope on WGN Radio.
All of a sudden, up drove a Cadillac, and out stepped a cat named Pete. Diamonds on every finger, he wore a tailor-made suit. He smoked a black cigar, he wore a Stetson hat, he wore a pair of cowboy boots. He busted on through the doorway, just as bad as a he can be. On his pistol, he turned around, he said, my name is a Big Boy Pete. The music stopped, there wasn't a sound. Over in the corner stood a bad man brown. Brown smiling grin, he said, my friend, come three steps farther and I'll do you in. Now Pete said, I look a here, buddy, before I tend your hide, I got a 45 to keep me alive and 7 bullets on my side. Brown pulled a knife, he jumped on Pete. They fought from the counter right to out to the street. They swung
WGN
from
Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yep, more Don and Dewey, Big Boy Pete, they wrote it. And of course, later, not only would the Olympics do it, but the Kingsmen would do it with different lyrics, the Jolly Green Giant. That was 1959 on Specialty, and that's the other Don and Dewey that Andy in Norwich wanted to hear. So 888-876-5593. Laura is in Willowbrook. What's up, Laura?
Hey, Raleigh. I'm thinking about getting a new car.
Oh.
I don't know if it's going to be new or just newer.
Okay.
But my car has a lot of miles, and it's kind of acting up a little bit, so I'm thinking about it. But the reason I called is, like, I know you would know a lot about this, or you could find out. Are they still thinking of not having AM radio in the cars anymore? I love AM radio. I listen to AM radio in the car all the time.
Okay, well, firstly, they still, other than electric cars, have AM radio in virtually all cars. Electric cars, they don't want to spend the extra dollar to include it. And I say that facetiously, but it wouldn't be very much money to shield it, but they don't do it. But so far, there are things working their way through Congress, like not allowing them to do it. But my guess is I don't think you're going to be buying a Tesla. And just a thought. So most of the things you'd be thinking about buying, of course, will have an AM/FM radio in them. And it's interesting. Many years ago, when I used to have to drive, when I promoted records back in the early 70s, most cars did not have an FM radio. And so I would always rent those Lincolns because they had an AM/FM radio. And on an expense report, I would just write down, rented a radio, car attached to it. And that was pretty much it. So, and that was a while before FM became standard in cars. It weren't for many years. But I would think almost anything you'd be thinking about buying will have an AM/FM radio. And then, of course, depending on how persnickety you are, I'm an AC Delco girl, things like that, you might have to decide what you want. And, I don't think that's going to be a problem. What kind of cars are you looking at?
Well, I have a Volkswagen, but I'm thinking maybe I should really lean to more American-made because the parts are hard to find and they're expensive and all that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of things you think are American made might not be, and a lot of things you think are foreign made might be made right here. So I would, whatever you're thinking about, I'd research it first to find out. Like my Z28 was made in Montreal. So you yeah, exactly. And actually, they're much better than the ones that used to be made in Van Nuys, California. So so they are.
Wow.
But yeah, there can be shortages, but for the most part, you want to research it individually. Let me know when you get closer some of the things you're looking at.
I will, and yeah, I've taken Uber in a Tesla once a couple times,
yeah.
And I'm not a fan of Tesla, but that's another story.
Yeah, well, and I'm not a fan of electric cars, so there you go. All right, thanks, appreciate it. All right, so
thanks, Raleigh.
Yeah, just the fact that they eliminate AM radio alone is enough for me. We'll find out what's going on in the news and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Dum, dum, dum. Only the lonely know the way I feel tonight. Only the lonely know this feeling ain't right. There goes my baby, there goes my heart. So far apart, but only the lonely know why I cry. Only the lonely
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Roy Orbison, Only the Lonely. Ed and LaGrange requested that, 1960 on Monument, and I was going to play it tonight, and I think it's good timing because it says Robert in Stickney wants to talk about Roy Orbison. So, all right, Robert, what's up?
Yeah, you know what? This is something I probably should have looked into through the years. This is in regards to the his dark glasses he always wore. Now, I was wondering, was it just a trademark, or did he have a problem with his vision?
No, I don't think he had any vision problems.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just wondering about that. I was kind of surprised. I don't know if he's with us anymore.
Now, I will say, I will say that when I say he didn't have any trouble with his eyes, in terms of he could see, his vision was fine, but he did have extreme light sensitivity. And so,
oh yeah, that's yeah. He did. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he did have that. And of course, he wouldn't have needed to wear them indoors and all these other times. But that became the trademark image. But he did have. I think it's called like a photophobia, and it is. It is that way. But the reality, though, even though he did have that, is that it was really a fashion statement.
Right. Yeah. And then I saw also, this was quite a while back, when I saw Bobby Lewis, I was surprised that he was blind.
That was later, by the way. He wasn't blind originally, but he went blind, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because I didn't think he was always.
No.
You know, yeah.
Exactly yeah. right. And so right now he had vision problems all along, but he did not have the kind of problems that he did later on. It was probably after 1980 that he started to lose his vision entirely.
Oh, I see.
Earlier on, not. And just like the other thing I think with Roy Orbison is that you know, while he could see, he did have to wear glasses, and that wasn't cool. And so I have a strong feeling that wearing the sunglasses was a way to, you know, I mean, obviously Buddy Holly wore glasses and all that, but for the most part, wearing the sunglasses kind of solved a lot of problems for him.
Right, right. Well, and just one more thing. I know you're booked for tonight, but there were so many early favorites I had of Roy. If you could squeeze in tomorrow or even next week, Blue Angel.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else? Anything else?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay then, Raleigh.
All right, good deal. Thanks. All right, so yeah, I would say mostly cosmetic, but there was that story, and I don't know, that he had lost his glasses, maybe left them on a plane or something, and you know, had to perform with his sunglasses, and the reaction was good enough. They thought, oh, here's my trademark. So yeah, it was more that than anything. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And that will take us to James on the South Side right after this on WGN Radio.
You never knew how it would feel to be left all alone. Now you know, now you know, now you know. Now that you're on your own, you broke my heart. Now someone else has thrown your love in the sea. Now you know, now you know, now you know what you did to me. While you're drying those teardrops, praying your heart will heal. Think of the way it used to be with me when your love was real. Oh, then come to me and I'll hold you close, just like I used to do. You know, now you know, now you know that I still love you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Lisa and Dundee wanted to hear that. A little surprising, Now You Know, 1961 on King. A little surprising because it was a flip side. Never was actually a hit, so I'm not sure why she knew it. The A-side was Take My Love, I Want to Give It All to You. All right, so that is the deal on Lil Willie John, who, man, he was just terrific. All right, lots of stories there. Now, during the last commercial break, I decided, well, let me look up the Roy Orbison stuff, because, like I say, I'd heard a few stories. Hell, I hadn't heard nothing. I read in quick succession over half a dozen reasons why he wore the sunglasses, and the synopsis was pretty much that I said. It was more cosmetic than anything. He did need to wear glasses, and there were arguments about just how badly was his vision, but that wasn't the point. The point was that he for whatever reason, wore the dark glasses in the England tour, and liked the reaction. So yeah, I distilled half a dozen tales, and I'm sure if I had more time, I'd find more. But the other interesting thing I found was that he dyed his hair black. And it wasn't really dark at all, but it fit the image. Now, I read one that said he'd been dyeing it since the age of 6, and I discounted that immediately. I think it would be on the heading of child abuse, but 888-876-5593. We got James on the South Side. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm all right. How about yourself?
Oh, my day has been okay. This phone was okay. I had tried to help our friend who wanted to give something a Google review. So I said, well, since he didn't have his email wasn't a Google thing, and so I tried, and that didn't work. And then my phone got messed up in the process.
Oh man! See, that's what you get for doing someone a favor.
Well, I didn't mind, but it's what Google did. They thought I had changed devices again.
Ah, well, there you're right, exactly. They'll do that, and then you get the emails on that. All right.
Yeah, and then let's not even talk about it.
Yeah, no, believe me. I understand. I've been going round and round with a DocuSign document, which are normally fairly easy to do. But in this case, it's a financial document, and the gal who is the clerk who's supposed to be originating it is obviously dumber than a box of rocks. And bottom line is this has now been going on 2 weeks, and finally I said, you need to regenerate this from start. You know, start over. Yeah, because it just has become a comedy of error. So, yeah, I understand. Fortunately, I don't have anything riding on it, so I don't care. But there's nothing like online interaction to give you the level of frustration that will have you pounding walls.
Yeah, and I had a pounding headache to go with it.
Yeah, oh, God, it's not worth it. Not worth it. And always tell yourself that. None of this matters. Now, a number of stories, and my favorite over the last few days, because I'm always talking about things like homeowner associations or, condo associations and how much I even hate the concept. And we talk about the Nazis who serve on these boards. Well, this guy tops them all, and you found him. He's in Dade County, Florida, Turnberry. And a condominium board president arrested on felony charges. The guy embezzled $1.5 million, but that's not the bad part. And he was elected president of Turnberry on the Green in 2008, 377 units. And the previous management put the association, quote unquote, one step away from bankruptcy, according to his online biography, which, of course, he puffed up. But it probably was bad. But what he did went further on in the bio, boasting about how he accumulated more than $4 million in the association's financial accounts and built a professional team that completed $3 million worth of projects without charging tenants. And he goes on and on. He fails to mention that all those deficiencies that were addressed at higher prices by companies that he owned or were paid for services that they never rendered. And he continued to build the association even after he knew he was being investigated. So this guy's background actually is in quantum physics. And
he seems to be on the line of shady acceleration.
Well, yeah, there you go. And he appointed himself property manager and chief engineer, despite not being a licensed engineer. And apparently, he is a Russian immigrant, I would assume. I don't know too many born in America people named Arzamanov. But anyway, he's facing charge for credit card fraud as well, using the association's account to pay for groceries, gas, Dunkin' Donuts, and a buffet outing. All right, so TV.
Oh, I hope this one had. I hope the buffet thing had plenty of dancing to go
with.
Yeah,
boy, I'll tell you what.
I don't think you'll be doing much after they convict.
Well, right. The interesting part to me, the part that caused my blood to run cold, was how he got away with it. He'd been getting away with his scheme for years using threats, intimidation, and fear, filing lawsuits against other board members to suppress any dissent. Since most of the unit owners were investors, the former board president was able to keep them in the dark on the day-to-day issues. So, I mean, he just threatened them. And so now he's being held on $500,000.
Sounds like we won't go to a certain local official. We won't say that.
Well, okay. the bottom line to this is anybody who thinks they're having trouble with their homeowner association realize that it could be much, much worse. And that was our story there. Then the horrible story about a mother caught on a dash cam fatally injecting her ex-husband with a tranquilizer drug during a custody battle. You know, I keep wondering, why do these people think they're going to get away with this?
Because guess what? They You've heard that song, the Hank Williams song where you're cheating hard.
Yeah.
And okay, yeah, because then you think you'll get away with it. No.
Yeah, so this
it will tell on you.
Yeah, well, apparently it will. Your dash cam will, if nothing else, and you really wonder how people don't understand that they have dash cams. So here comes Dad, who was dropping off the kids, and here comes Mom out to the car. Dad, by the way, was a State Department researcher working for the government, and as Mom comes to the car, he's shouting, "What the heck are you doing? Did you just assault me? Get away from me. Get off me." Meanwhile, she had injected him with the killer tranquilizer. And the dash cam showed, and they showed it at the sentencing, the ex-wife pulling on his shirt, struggling with him, and administering a poisonous jab. She then
and it was 1,000, more than 1,000 times stronger.
Well, yeah, it would absolutely kill him. She then pulled him on his back to bring him to the ground, hold him around the neck until his body went limp and unresponsive, lying on the driveway. At that point, she picked up his cell phone, removed a smartwatch, turned off the vehicle's engine, at which point the camera stopped recording. Wouldn't it occur to her that the camera would be recording when the car was on? I guess not. So it was M99 that was a synthetic opioid that's 3,000 times stronger than morphine, enough to kill him. So she's going to jail for a long time now.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the.
So do
I. Not only that, her mother is also doing some plate making.
That's absolutely right. The grandmother will not be taking care of the children because she will be alongside the daughter in jail because she helped move the body and a number of other things. But yeah, I always wondered about that, and the stories never talk about it. But what happens to those kids? And I don't know. So that's the deal. Now, the good
Only thing I can think of is that maybe he has some family.
Yeah.
Because obviously can't depend on anything on that side of the family.
Yep. So then we have a 14-year-old Russian girl who killed her grandmother and then said, well, she was already dying. Lovely.
I'm like, do you understand the concept that you could be there someday?
Well, apparently not. In this case, she beat her grandmother to death using her grandmother's walker and a belt. She's going to be tried as an adult. Now, what's interesting is good luck to her lawyer. She apparently is an immigrant from Ukraine, and they're using a defense that she's psychotic because of what she witnessed in the war.
Okay. Only thing I can hear the judge saying, "Niet."
Well, the only thing that good that's going to come of it is Law and Order will have another episode. So,
they'll have a good one.
Yeah, exactly,
that one.
Exactly.
Maybe two.
You know that, and they'll have they'll have that disclaimer about how it's not tied to real events. The hell, it's not. Where do I think they get their ideas? Now, of course, if you want to be afraid, very afraid, we then have viruses found on toothbrushes that are unlike anything seen before. Oh, swell! Over 600 different species of bacteria hunting viruses living in our common bathroom items. Oh, just great. And, of course, these articles want to tell you that it won't hurt you. But then another article, and I'm not sure if you sent this one to me or not, but I did see it today, was how a common bacteria found in the mouth is now responsible for a lot of rectal and colon cancer. And I'm not even going to get into how it migrated, but it's not what you think, or at least not what my dirty mind thought.
No, well, we won't even go to that one.
Right. It was not what my dirty mind thought. Yes, it was stomach, apparently. But anyway, toothbrushes and shower heads harbor viruses and bacteria unlike anything we've ever seen before.
This is funny. When I was in school, we were required to bring might have had to do like a little where we took a sample from our mouth to put it on an assignment and analyze it.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Unfortunately, I made the mistake of brushing my teeth right before I had left to go to class, so it was pushing nothing on the slide.
Might have been the best thing you did. as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, fluoride. Yeah, fluoride. I would say, man's best friend.
Yeah, right. Well, in this case, yeah. Now it's fascinating that this is going on, of course, and I love that they have a team of researchers. But I am surprised that they officially call this Operation Potty Mouth. How do you write that down on the grant application? I can't imagine. In any event,
I think you know what I think has happened, that we have gone to the age of where we've almost have pretty much we don't pretty much care what we write down.
Well, there's a word for that. The word is insanity, and we've ended the night, well, at least the hour. Time for the news. Thank you for the stories. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Yes. I do have one request.
What is it?
Always by Patsy Cline.
Okay, it'll be tomorrow night. I'll do it. You got it. All right, so that'll be coming up. The rest of the bumpers, all four of them, are your requests, which you'll hear next hour right here on WGN Radio.
Streets full of people, all alone. Roads full of houses, never home. Church full of singing, out of tune. Everyone's gone to the moon. Eyes full of sorrow, never wait. Hands full of money, all in debt. Sun coming out in from the middle of June. Everyone's gone to the moon. Long time ago, life had begun. Everyone went to the sun. Parks full of motors, painted green. Mouths full of chocolate, covered cream. Arms that can only lift a spoon. Everyone's gone.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, that is, in fact, the lovely and talented Jonathan King, who at one time was all of the British top 10 under different names. Everyone's Gone to the Moon, 1965 on Parrot, and Cindy in Milwaukee wanted to hear it. Cindy, I hope you're listening. 888-876-5593. That takes us to Johnny D. in Ohio. How's it going, Johnny?
Hello, Raleigh. I've been listening. But you know what I hate when I'm listening? Sometimes it happens. Mm. I'm listening to your stream on my tablet, okay?
All right.
And sometimes when you go to the news, okay, then, you know, I start messing around, like, you know, on my phone or doing something.
Sure.
And then I'm thinking, man, it's been quite a while. And then here I go to my tablet and look, and it stopped. You know, I have to reload. It reloads. It loses it, you know?
We're back together again.
Yeah. And so I've been listening, and, you know, I told John, I said, I want to talk about, you know, stones. You know, and I'm thinking, well, what do you and Leela know about stones? I mean, gemstones, rather.
Yeah, I understand. Yes, I'm with you.
I'm thinking, which is Leela? Maybe Elmer knows about stones, but. No, Leela seemed pretty up on all that stuff. And I'm thinking, it brought to mind, firstly, let me get to the one song. You know, like I say, when I listen, you know, people say things, Raleigh, and then
you know how I said that it brings to mind songs, and I got this issue. I don't know. I might have a problem or something. Whenever I hear a thing or something, you know, that next thing I know, some song pops into my head, okay?
Yeah.
And with Eduardo, earlier, and he said he looked out the window and he seen the trees going back and forth, right? And in my mind, all of a sudden I hear, push, pull, push and pull. Remember that song? So I'd like to request that.
Of course you do. Okay.
Yeah, I do. Push and pull. What's the matter with that?
No, all right. It'll be tomorrow night.
All right. And then, I don't know, another one that popped in my head for some reason was when you touch me, I can't stand myself. Early in the morning, I can't get right. Spend a little time with my baby last night. James Brown.
Okay.
When you touch me, I can't stand myself when you touch me. Remember that?
Yeah. So we got the Push and Pull by Rufus Thomas and When You Touch Me by James Brown.
Yeah. I want to get back in the you know, James Brown.
Okay. Stuff. We can pull those. We can
but
play
anyhow, so yeah, getting back to Leela and the Stones, right?
Yeah.
Now, so about the mind, years ago, I don't know. I'm pretty sure the lovely and talented Becky ordered it for herself, right?
Yes.
I didn't have anything to do with it. Maybe my kids had something to do with it. But it's a mother ring, a mother's ring or a family ring, something like that.
If you say so.
That's what they call it. And what my question is to you, who is so knowledgeable about so much stuff, it's a family ring, and it had my birthstone,
which is March.
Now, I don't know what that stone is, because I haven't seen this ring in years. You know, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I'm March. My wife is May. The loving and talented Becky's May. My oldest daughter is October, October 15th. It'll be her birthday. She'll be 42.
All right.
So, and my youngest daughter is... stone is November.
All right, so November.
So I'd like to know, what are those stones?
Okay, well, November is citrine. It's kind of a goldish stone. October is opal. You know what opals look like. What are the other months?
I know opal.
What are the other months?
May for the lovely and talented Becky.
Emerald. It's green.
And I'm March.
Aquamarine. It's kind of a light blue.
Aquamarine. Yeah. What is that, like greenish or something?
No, it's a light blue. It's a real nice
light
color.
Light blue?
Yeah, it's a very nice color.
Well, it goes with my eyes.
Yeah, it is a very nice color, actually. But now, some people don't base it on their month. They'll base it on their zodiac sign, because the zodiac signs all have stones, too.
What?
The zodiac signs all have stones as well.
I don't.
All right, in other words, you not only have your birth by March, but in March, I don't know where in March it is, but you're probably like a Pisces, or you could be.
I'm an Aries.
Okay, so you're later March. You're an Aries. Okay.
Yeah, me and James Brown, he was an Aries.
All right, and so so Aries have gemstones attached with them as well. And so your basic Aries is a diamond. Or it can also be clear quartz or rock crystal. So in other words...
No, that's a diamond.
It's a diamond. So there you have it. So every zodiac sign has a stone as well.
I didn't know that.
Well...
That's amazing.
Yeah, so you have your birth month stone, and then you have your zodiac stone. If you care about this stuff, you know, me, I just pick a pretty color. But of course, I didn't realize they had all these healing properties.
Healing properties? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was listening to Leela, and she said, "Well, what if I remember on the Seinfeld episode, they invented the man's ear. It was a brassiere for men.
Okay.
They called it Kramer.
Okay.
He came up with the man's ear. Yeah.
All right.
And she said, I'm thinking, Why I feel like doing no, little hard stones?
You don't have to wear them in your brassiere. You can also wear them on a chain around your neck, or you can wear them on a bracelet or whatever, as long as they're touching your skin.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you said that, because also earlier you said, oh, these go back a long time ago,
yeah,
you know.
Ancient times.
And I'm thinking in my mind, I wonder if they go back 50,000 years, like Neanderthals.
I have no idea if Neanderthals were interested.
I have an idea.
All right, so what do we know?
Because I know, but you could look it up. What do raptor talons and eagle feathers do? Because the oldest form of a necklace that they've found is made by a Neanderthal.
Yes.
It had eagle talons and eagle feathers and necklace.
Yes. Okay? Yes.
So there you go. I don't think these stones you're talking about.
Well, here, let's see. It was originally, it had been believed that the first jewelry was created by Homo sapiens 100,000 years ago. However, new discoveries tell us that it dates back to over 130 years ago by the Neanderthals. The discovery caused a sensation in anthropological areas, those swinging guys that they are, based on a set of fossil claws found in the Neanderthal site of Krapina. Of course it is.
Krapina, yeah.
Modern-day Croatia.
I think that's in
Croatia.
There's a war is going on.
Yeah, well, modern-day Croatia. Yeah. And so,
Croatia?
Yeah, that's it. And so they have pictures of it as far as that goes. So, yes, you could read.
How about it? You see that? They got the eagle talons.
Right. So the claws,
you know
the claws, by the way, the claws belong to the great eagle, the large bird of prey. But that was symbolic, and it shows that the Neanderthals possessed a symbolic culture. So now I guess they're looking for more than eagle talons. They're looking for, in fact, gemstones.
Maybe. But, you know, also with that necklace thing, it was not just eagle talons for money. It was eagle talons from six different eagles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. The heck, 100,000 years ago, do you catch an eagle?
What else did they have to do?
Oh, my God. I mean, come on. I bet somebody today can't catch an eagle.
I'm sure nobody today can catch an eagle. But back then, like I say, your choices for recreation were minimal. So eagle catching, yeah, I'm sure there was the eagle catching Olympics.
Hi, Raleigh. So then I requested my songs, and I talked about the stones. And so I guess that's it.
Well, John believes the Neanderthals used a net. So I don't know. I'll leave it there. A net. That's right.
I don't think they had weaving back then.
Yeah, just never know. It's a lot of time on their hands. What do they do? There's no internet.
I'll tell you what, Neanderthals got a bad rap, but they were smarter than people thought.
Oh, I'm sure that's true, by the way. Yes, exactly, or we wouldn't know they existed. All right, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, okay, bye. Yeah, we Neanderthal, what? Yeah, no, they were smart enough that we remember them. Maybe not so fondly, but Johnny D. likes them. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Lift my spirits up. So I dropped in on a dance just to take a glance. And there the sweet lovely thing was, she was more than enough. I asked her for a hand, said, would you like to dance? So pleased that I
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James, and that is Midnight Star, Slow Jam. Tubby in Chicago wanted to hear that, 1983 on Solar. All right, so 888-876-5593. Carl is in Chicago. How's it going, Carl?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
Can't complain. So what's happening?
You know what? I had a couple of things. I had a slight miracle that happened.
Yeah,
I'm a car guy. I got a few cars. I got a 62 Oldsmobile Starfire.
Uh-huh.
I got a 66 442, three deuces and a four speed.
Ooh, nice.
I got a 70 Chevelle 454.
Okay.
And a 97 Toyota Supra twin turbo.
Okay.
And things were going pretty good, except all of a sudden I started to get blurred vision.
Uh-oh.
I started seeing double.
Uh-huh.
And I had my regular glasses and everything was going good, but I just started seeing double. If I closed one eye, it was good. If I closed the other eye, it was good. But when I had both eyes open, I was seeing double.
Do you have cataracts?
No.
Okay, because that's a common thing. And, of course, that's easy to fix. They just put prisms in the lenses.
Well, that's exactly what happened. I told my doctor about it.
Yeah.
And he examined my eye, and he said, yeah, you have a lazy left eye, and it was off by a certain degree.
Uh-huh.
And he put the prism in front of my eye, and he said, how's that? He gave me a four.
Yeah.
And I said, that's better. We stood out in the hall, looked down the hall, and he said, here, I'll give you a six. How's a six? And I said, well, it's about the same. It's about the same. He said, go, good, then four would be good for you. So he said, I can't do it here, but if you go to an optician, they'll have an adhesive cover that'll put over that one lens, and if it works, then they can grind a permanent set of glasses for you. So I did that, and they put the adhesive on the one lens, and like a miracle, unbelievable, my vision straightened out, and now I can drive my cars. Holy cow.
Oh, absolutely. No, I have prisms in my glasses, and both of them, actually. Both of them. So, yeah, no, I'm very well aware of that. And the prisms take care of it. The question is, why did you suddenly develop it? That's why I asked if you had cataracts. But if your eye doctor thinks it's benign, then the prisms are great, and hopefully that'll be the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was coming on for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it got to be permanent.
Right.
But I had another thing I wanted to talk about was... I thought it was kind of interesting that they were using mules to supply people in the mountains in North Carolina because the roads were all closed. So they were packing up mules to take up supplies for people. And I thought it was kind of interesting that they went back to using the old reliable mules.
Absolutely.
So
I
punched up the song Mule Train by Frankie Lane.
Oh, okay. All right.
What
sure.
A great song.
Oh, yeah.
Not only that, you can hear all the words in his lyrics. A lot of songs you can't hear, you know, understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
But the words in his lyrics were really good. So if you have a chance, if you could play Mule Train by Frankie Lane and Jezebel.
Oh, yeah,
by Frankie
Jezebel.
Lane.
Okay. My favorite by him is Lucky Old Son, the one that was recorded on Mercury, not the Columbia reissue. I loved Frankie Lane, especially that Mercury stuff. When he moved over to Columbia and Mitch Miller re-recorded all that stuff, I always said they gave it a soulectomy. But the original Mercury were just great, great songs. And sure, Jezebel and Mule Train, you betcha.
Yeah, I caught one of those redones by Mitch Miller, and it wasn't the same.
No, it isn't. It absolutely isn't. No, I
tried to embellish it a little bit, and, right. and it wasn't the same.
Took the soul right out of it. Yeah, you betcha.
Right, correct.
All right, well, I will get you the Mercury versions and a Mule Train and Jezebel tomorrow night.
Very good. Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
You take care.
All right, you too. We'll find out what's going on in the world at large and get back to Jeff and Beloit, and hopefully you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Put a nickel in the jukebox and let that record spin. My darling's gone and left me, left for someone new. She made me love and care for her, then played me for a fool. Her wicked ways has won the heart of my very best friend. Put a nickel in the jukebox and let that record spin. And let that record spin, and let it spin for love I've lost and things that might have been. I should have known right from the start I had no chance to win. Put a nickel in the jukebox and let that record spin.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and it's Hawkshaw Hawkins. James on the South Side requested that a while ago, 1960 on Columbia. Sadly, he was in the plane crash with Patsy Cline just 3 years later. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And that will take us to Jeffrey in Portland. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi, Rockstar. Thank you for taking my phone call. I have first a request for a song from a local, was it horror host, way back in late 50s, named Tarantula Gold.
I remember her so well. Absolutely.
Okay. So. Yeah, she has a song called Graveyard Rock with the Gravediggers.
Right.
Please play that for me.
I'll be happy to. I was going to say it has to be Graveyard Rock because no one knows anything else by her. Okay. Yeah, she was great. And I've got it. In fact, I just looked to make sure it was on this computer. I've got a couple versions of it. So sure, happy to. She was great. She would have continued on the air if she hadn't gotten pregnant out of wedlock and management didn't like that.
Yeah. Also, I want to have a question. I don't know, pick your brain about how can IDUs get better reception in my car for AM and FM? Should I just get a new radio, or how should I improve
my
antenna?
Tell me about the car. What do you have?
I have a Subaru Forester, and it's like, you know, I can't even get some of the radio stations locally here while I'm driving around. You know, I was just trying to think how the heck should I improve the reception other than put like a night. I'm happy to go back to an older car, but I was just wondering.
It's notoriously bad, actually, not only in terms of reception, but also it's got poor bass response. It's very flat audio quality. And so you're not alone on that, but I'm not looking at the car. You do have an external antenna on that, don't you?
Well, like a small little thing that they have, like the very back.
Yeah, right. A little nub.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I would really be doing you a disservice because I haven't researched it. But all I can tell you is that a lot of people have this issue. So I have a feeling if you research this online, you'll find that even people who adore their Subarus hate the audio.
Okay, because I used to have what was our older Subaru. We had like one of the antennas that was in the window.
Oh.
That seemed to do a lot better. I used to get, you know, hundreds of miles like the new ones. They just
well, you're lucky.
Like,
you're lucky, because most of those window antennas that formed the T had lousy reception. So if you got something out of it, you're doing better than most people did.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your giving your little wisdom that you have on the thing, you know.
Well, I'm gonna not right now, but I'm gonna look this up later. So call me back. I'll have some information at least, because you're not alone, and I'm curious how people have solved it.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
all
thanks
right.
for your time, Rockstar.
Good deal. Talk to you soon, I hope.
I will right. be.
So
Bye.
Yeah, so it's tough, you know. You look it online, and the first thing they talk about is, well, do you have any loose connections? No, that would manifest completely differently if you do. Man, it's terrible when that happens. Been there, done that. But there are other people who've done things fairly creatively, and so hopefully Jeffrey will take a look at that, because I think that he's going to get plenty of answers. But I'll look too. So Jeff in Beloit, welcome to WGN Radio. What's up tonight?
Well, how's your health, Raleigh?
I'm here. I'm sitting up. I haven't fallen over.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Halloween's coming up, and I have this story. I remember looking for a book report, and I'm going through the encyclopedia, and I come up on mummies. And I start reading this about these mummies. And right around the turn of the century, it was really popular in the United States for museums and so forth to buy mummies, their furniture, and their artifacts. But the thing is, the people had to go in Egypt, and they had to steal these or grave rob. And there's supposed to be a curse on them.
Yes.
And I believe the guy that found King Tut's tomb and so forth and went in there, he met with some peril on it.
Yes.
I don't know the story exactly about that. But at any rate, they started bringing all this stuff back, and tons of it.
Right.
And there was more than they could use in museums. So they didn't know what to do with it. They got storage places just full of this stuff. And somebody figured out if you ground it up, it made a brown powder. And so they go, what are we going to do with this ground powder? So they put it in pigment for paint. So right around, in New York City, right around the turn of the century, and I'm talking like 1910, okay, they put this pigment in the paint, and they called the paint mummy brown.
Oh, no.
So there's actually buildings that are painted with ground-up mummies.
Oh, no. Oh, God. That's hilarious. I did not know this.
So what kind of gemstone would you wear to ward off the curse of that?
Probably. I'm looking at this. There's actually a thing. I had not heard something. It's brand new to me. The only mummy I knew about was Luigi. He was in South Carolina. Apparently, he didn't get that. The mausoleum didn't get paid, so they mummified him. But Luigi was there for years, hanging around a radio station for a while. But anyway, Mummy Brown was a rich brown. Oh my goodness, good transparency. All right, so. By 19,
you could probably see your face in that.
Yeah,
if you look, by
1915, demand had significantly declined. Now suppliers ceased to offer it by the middle of the 20th century. It was one of the favorite colors of the Pre-Raphaelites, used by many artists. So you see it in pictures and things like that. And apparently before it was used as a pigment, the mummification dust was known for medicinal qualities. And so they treated everything from toothaches to dysentery. And so I guess in the 16th and 17th centuries, they were producing pigment from mummies alarmingly regularly. And it was made from the flesh of Egyptian mummies or those on the Canary Islands. Mixed with a white pinch and myrrh. And the earliest use of mummy brown goes back to 1712 in an artist supply shop in Paris that sold it. So it was popular mid-18th century to 19th centuries. And then the demand, which for a while had exceeded the available supply, occasionally dropped, because by 1849 it was being quite in vogue. But after that, it started to diminish in desire. And so apparently that was it. Now, okay, so In 1915, one London shop said they could satisfy customer requests for 20 years from a single Egyptian mummy. So apparently they ceased production at the start of the 20th century, and you can't buy it today. All right. The sole distributor of the pigment was a London color maker, C. Roberson, and he ran out of mummies a few years ago. So a tube of mummy brown purchased from Roberson in the early 1900s is on display at the Forbes Pigment Collection at the Harvard Art Museum. I don't think you have to worry. It was composed of a mixture of kaolin, quartz, gothite, and hematite. Hermatite and the gothite, or gethite, depending on how you want to pronounce it, was 60% of it, and that determined that color. The more hermatite, obviously, the redder it was. And so I'm not sure that that this would be a problem in terms of needing to ward off gemstones. I mean, obviously, they didn't get it from King Tut. You know, so
right,
I'm
right.
Not sure that all pharaohs or all mummies had curses. You know, obviously the King Tut curse is well known. Yeah, curse of the pharaohs. And there are other things that debunk it, saying there was no curse inscribed in the tome. But it would take the life of anyone who disturbed his final resting place. Well, apparently it's more of a wives' tale, though. People did die. I will say that. I guess, and dead is dead, but that's the deal. But no, I don't think you need to wear any gemstones. Do you have any connection to mummies, direct connection?
No, but actually you're talking about an aquamarine, and I do have a short story about that. I had a girlfriend that had a, she was well-to-do, but she handed me a stone one time because I'm a Pisces, and she handed me an aquamarine.
Yeah.
And the thing was probably an inch and a half long.
Right.
It was just huge form of stone. And it had two unusual qualities. It was unusually cool and slippery.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can add about that. One more thing about ancient Egypt.
Yes.
There was a penalty, and I read this on a bar napkin, so it's got to be very credible.
Well, of course it is, yes, especially if you were imbibing before you read it. Yes, so go ahead.
Well, I could still read it, but here goes. What was the penalty for in 1000 BC in ancient Egypt for not paying taxes on your liquor?
On liquor?
That's
interesting.
I shouldn't say liquor. I should say alcohol, because I don't know if they actually had distillates then.
Right, right. You would think that in general, I know not paying taxes in general was beating and flogging, but I assume this is something more specific.
Yes, I mean if you parked your chariot in the wrong spot, it was they yeah. put you to death.
Absolutely. So that's not awesome. Paying taxes on alcoholic beverages, what do they do to you?
They would drown you, death by drowning.
In the alcohol itself?
Okay. I don't know about that. I mean, it took a while for me. They'd have dunked me a couple times, but
That
was the penalty, and I'm sure that's credible because it was on a four-square white napkin.
Well, it must be, because normally death was carried out by stoning them to death or hanging them or, you know, burying them alive. I didn't know about drowning, but that makes all the sense in the world. I hope no good liquor went to waste.
I don't know about that. I wasn't around at the time, but...
No.
It sounded credible when I read it. So.
Yeah, why not? I mean, and let's face it, who can dispute it? No one has firsthand knowledge.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I think you're safe with that. All right, very, very good. I'll keep that in mind for something.
I thank you for listening.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, good stuff. I think, by the way, the King Tut curse was more of what happened when they opened the tomb and there were, like, bacteria or something in there. Because people did die, but I'm pretty sure that the curse was irrelevant in that equation. All right, if you want the final word, we've devolved to this, so it's all. We're ready for you. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Guantanamera, Guantanamera, Guantanamera. soy un hombre sincero. ¿De dónde crece la palma? Yo soy un hombre sincero. ¿De dónde crece la palma? Antes de morir me quiero echarme zarzos del alma.
Guantanamera, aquí de Guantanamera, Guantanamera, aquí de Guantanamera.
Mi verso es de un verde claro y de un jardín encendido.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, One Ton Tomato, okay, no, Guantanamera, but it sounded like One Ton Tomato, 1966 on A&M, and Cindy in Milwaukee wanted to hear that. I like the version of Wave better, but I played that a few weeks ago, so you get Guantanamera, or One Ton Tomato, depending on how you look at it, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh and Donna in Oak Lawn, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh, I wanted to pass on a final word for the Egyptians who built the pyramids.
They were paid
beer and onions.
Right. I heard they were paid in beer. But I don't know if it's true. Do you?
They had a lot of grain. And last time I was at the Oriental Museum at the University of Chicago, the archaeology department kind of confirmed it. But they had the dried remains of beer in some of the cottages, or the wrecks and ruins.
Yeah, I've seen, they have pictures of wall painting and hieroglyphics. Now, of course, I don't know about you, but I can't interpret these things, but they say it depicts scenes of laborers receiving beer. And so it was part of the construction project. See, I'm going more with aliens built it. I don't know. They came down, and none of it makes sense to me. But apparently a 5,000-year-old tablet that was, according to the Smithsonian Institute, had discovered that the workers were paid 4 to 5 liters of beer a day.
Yeah, and they even had the recipe for the beer.
Uh-huh. Really, that it does make you wonder, doesn't it? I don't know. So, Egyptians used to get paid in beer. And apparently salaries of beer were not uncommon. Well, I guess if you drink enough of it, you don't care that they're not giving you money.
Well, what does the money buy anyway?
I don't know. What does it buy now? I mean, let's get back to that right now. I mean, maybe we should start doing it in beer again. I don't know. All right, well, interesting. So I guess their diet was bread and beer. So why not? I don't know. Now, somebody claims there's a 5,000-year-old pay stub. I think that's a little far-fetched myself, but I assume they're talking about yet another one of these tablets. And that's
something
how,
in a papyrus, maybe.
Yeah, so, and that's how they got the 5 liters of beer a day. All right. I like beer. I think that was a Tom T. Hall record.
Maybe he was Egyptian.
Maybe he was. That would explain a lot, really. All right, good deal all the way around. Now that I know that. All right.
Good Wednesday to you, Raleigh.
Thanks for calling, Donna. I sure appreciate it. All right.
Bye.
Yeah, I can sleep better now. I don't know about you. 888-876-5593. And I'll tell you who's going to close it off for the night, and that is Jim in New Hampshire. Far too little time left, but the 3.5 minutes are all yours.
Oh, well, okay. That was always one of my favorites to harken one back to the good old MOR radio days, good old One Ton Tomato.
Oh, yeah, One Ton Tomato, yes, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, that too, yes. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I think that somebody on Dr. Domeno actually had a parody of it.
Probably. Yeah. I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised
at
all.
There were several
people. I was wondering, because I know we were running short here, could you play, I don't know if you have it, but do you have dinner with Drac?
Of course I have dinner with Drac. What, are you kidding me? I've got the whole album. Yeah. I mean, why just have a 45 when you can have the whole thing? Yeah, I got
You betcha. Why not, huh?
Yeah, dinner with you. So that's your, yeah, tomorrow's going to be a real swinging show, I can tell already. All right, so dinner with Drac. I'm making sure. Yes, oh my God, I've got it four times on this computer. All right, so.
I love it.
Yes, yes. We're talking about, of course, John Zacherle, don't you know? And I'll be happy to do that.
Oh, cool stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll play that along with Tarantula Ghoul's, grave, whatever it was, rock. Yeah.
I don't think I ever heard that.
Graveyard Rock. Oh, yeah. She was just the best, and she was a local Portland. You know, back then in the 50s, just about everybody had their creature feature, and it'd be in black and white, and you'd have the local host. Well, they had Tarantula Ghoul, and she was just, as far as I'm concerned, star material all the way around. But anyway, it's 1959, and she got pregnant, and that was not the best thing for the TV station. But what was...
kind of frowned upon
What was interesting is the sales manager, who I do not think was the actual father of the child, but the sales manager married her. They moved to Omaha, where he got a job managing a TV station, and that's where she was, sadly, when she died far too young of cancer. But Tarantula Ghoul, you'll have to read about her. I'm sure there are stories, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I can find
And I will play that, and you have ended the night, so call me tomorrow night earlier.
You betcha.
All right, thanks. And on that note, we thank the lovely and talented Bob for keeping us on the air. Couldn't have done it without him. We thank John for screening your calls, but above all, I thank you for calling. It makes the show a pleasure to do, so we'll do it again 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.